Welcome back. Hour 3 of One Bills Live, presented by Kalata Health. We're coming to you from our One Buffalo studio in the Ed Pro Sports Training Center. John Murphy, Steve Tasker. Special guest in studio with us as practice winds down. Happy to have Bills linebacker Deion Lacey with us. Hi, Deion. Thanks for coming by.
How you doing? Pleased to be here.
We've never had you here before. It's your second year. You never made it to the show. We appreciate you taking a few minutes out for us today.
That's all right. Nice. Never knew it was back here.
Yeah, that's right.
No, that's
coming
both of our
expansive
fault.
Studios here, all nice and neat and tidy. How'd practice go? You guys had a little walkthrough yesterday. You know that with Matt Milano out, everybody kind of ratchets up for the linebackers. You guys got to kind of scramble around and see who's going to take over his reps. How's that going?
It's going well. Coach came up with a good plan for the, you know, for the Lions, and we're going to roll with it and see how it goes and, you know, come out with the win.
Mm-hmm. What's it like? It's tough to lose Milano, I would imagine, right? I
mean,
the plays he's been making.
The way I look at it with Matt, the way the season was going on, the guys was talking amongst each other, pro bowler, you know, the way he plays and attacks the ball and always around the ball and getting turnovers and making big plays, big tackles, I really like the way he plays.
Yeah, this is your second year with the Bills. You came in right at the beginning of last year, right after training camp, and you kind of – this is kind of your home now. This is you were 28 years old, so you bounced – you were in the CFL, you were with the Cowboys for a minute. You kind of found a home here in Buffalo, right?
Yeah, I kind of did, and, you know, Coach Sean McDermott gave me an opportunity to come here and display my skills, and I appreciate that.
Let me ask you about – you were here last year, claimed off waivers, waived by the Dolphins early – before the season began, and made a big play in an early season victory against the Denver Broncos. Fake punt, and you were on special teams where you play a lot of, you know, you spend a lot of time. Talk about that play and how you get ready to handle a fake punt, which is fake. It surprised you, I'm sure.
Yeah, it was, they were trying to do it kind of fast, and, you know, they had O-linemen as the front line, and they had a guy run on late, so they gave kind of guys the opportunity to get ready for it, and they kind of snapped it, and the offensive tackle didn't get his hands out on me, and I had a clean shot to the PP.
When you are out there in what would be the punt return team, do you always have to register in your head, okay, is there a fake possibility here? There might be a fake.
Oh, yeah, you got to go through their calls and their cadence. If you're hearing something different or you're not used to hearing, knowing that, you know, if you play punt team, you coach let us know, we can go safe, or, you know, you can adjust to it.
Yeah. This is a guy who was there for some punt returns, right? You must have gone through that process.
Yeah, that's – yeah, I was a special teams guy for a while, but nobody cares.
Seven,
that's nice. Talk a little bit about this week, the Lions. Give me a little philosophy when you're setting up the game plan that you got. Leslie Frazier's got that plan. You're going to roll with it. Give us a little personality, because we've been trying to identify that the Detroit Lions, and they got a brand new head coach. Yeah. You know, they got a kind of an established quarterback, but they've got guys that have been washing in and out of their offensive lineup. What's your take on the Lions offense? What's it look like to your defense?
Basically, they have a good quarterback, Matthew Stafford. Also, they got a good receiving running back in the backfield, 25. And, you know,
Riddick.
We got a key in on him and the quarterback in 19 also. So we want to take away those guys and make him beat us in other places.
Mm-hmm. Do you envision more snaps with some of the injuries? Do you think you'll get more work on defense this week, or what do you think?
Yeah, hopefully, that's
what you're looking for.
It's always fun, right?
Get a chance to make more big plays.
Here's my thing. When I was playing, I was a wide receiver, and I told – if I started playing wide receiver, my special teams hurt. I mean, is that the same with you? You start taking regular down and distance defensive snaps, and all of a sudden you got to stay out there for punt return or whatever. You got to get used to that.
Yeah, of course, but at the same time, it's mostly mental. Right. And then if you got the mindset of you know, you want to do it, you want to get out there and make plays, it won't phase you until after the game when your body is really aching.
Right.
And that's when it really hits you and you go get
an
ice tub.
You limp to the shower.
To the ice tub right after the game.
Exactly.
So, yeah.
With the Bills linebacker special teamer Deion Lacey, let's talk about special teams and kick coverage. That was a rough game on Sunday against the Jets. What did you see that went wrong in kickoff coverage, you think? And they got a very good return man, obviously.
Oh, yeah. He did very well against us. And he just found his lane. He found his rhythm. And he got out early on us in the first half, you know, and Coach came up with the idea to get him off his rhythm a little bit, and it worked out in the second half.
With the squib kicks.
Yeah.
Right. And did when they blocked the field goal and Hauschka goes down, did you know you guys were going to squib it in this coming out of halftime because Hauschka was maybe hurt, plus they had the return game going?
No, not at the time. At that time, we was kind of mad because we kind of felt like they got a cheap hit on House, so we kind of felt like at the time. And it's kind of like on the I think it was on the field deal. Coach was like, "Are we just going to squib it middle and just get down there and, you know, get on them?"
Right. One of the other things I want to ask you too is when you get into a game like this where you're going to squib it, it throws their timing off.
Of course.
But also, one of the things we've been talking about, one of the reasons you guys are the first place that injuries on the roster start to show up. You get new guys in. The young guys who come up from the practice squad, they automatically go on the kickoff return. So you're running down beside guys who may not have as much experience covering kicks as you.
Yeah, that's not a problem with our team because, you know, we have veteran guys that can help help the young guys as they come along and how they should fill in on blocks or how they should see things before they come to them or the ball placement, which way you – you know what I'm saying, the blocks coming and stuff like that. So that gives them more confidence when they get out there, especially when they make a play with their first time being on the kickoff, you know. So
Deanna, that was a good deal. Has there been a bigger focus on kick coverage this week in practice so far? I mean, you spending more time on it or different schemes? What are you guys doing?
Oh, we're just getting after it like we always do, you know. Sometimes you have those games where it wakes you back up, like don't take things lightly. Even though it's special teams, cause I don't, you know, because that's what I do. I love special teams, but this game, you know what I'm saying, last game, yeah, he had a good game.
Sean McDermott said something Monday, or was it yesterday, about he said the big – I'm going to paraphrase here. The big thing he said on our coverage teams was mentality. He said we got to get back to a mentality as opposed to schemes. And what did you take from that, and what's been discussed in the special teams
just
room?
Be more physical, you know, attack, just be mean, you know what I mean? Don't come out there pity-pat, you know, don't think too much. Just attack. And then, you know, at the end of the day, BSU.
Right. All right, so you grew up in Brighton, Alabama, just outside Birmingham. Went to West Alabama. Had a cup of coffee with the Cowboys. And then you spent 3 years in the CFL. You won a Grey Cup.
Yes, sir.
What'd that teach you?
Being with Edmonton Eskimos really taught me how to be a pro because coming, you know, from the Cowboys, I was at home for a little while and you know, hanging out and not really, you know, playing ball like I was normally used to doing. And I was kind of wild when I got back into it, you know, with my attitude and knowing how to, like, come back down and, you know, saying respect the game, how it should be played. And I really appreciate Coach Jones up there with the Edmonton Eskimos.
Right. So it gave you a chance to kind of find yourself,
play
for a while, learn how to be a pro, learn how serious you had to take it, change your mindset. And then you translated that when you got picked up by Buffalo.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Did you have occasion to go up against a Hamilton Tiger Cats receiver by the name of Tasker? Did you ever have any encounters with young Luke Tasker up there in the CFL?
No, he wasn't really a talker. He was just do my job, show you. Like, he was never a trash talker, but, you know, he was a great receiver up there.
It's funny because his dad is kind of a talker.
Yeah.
His dad's a radio person.
Trash and otherwise.
His dad talks for a living. That's all you.
The CFL experience, what did it do for you as far as succeeding in the NFL? What did you think you took from CFL?
Mainly, I think it helped me more on special teams. I really didn't get my opportunity to play defense until my last year because, you know, in the CFL, it's no fair catch on punt and kickoff, right. So you have to return it.
Yeah, it's a little more wide open.
Yeah, man. So it's, you know, it's different here where, you know, the guys kick it out of the end zone. It's just a touchback. So,
Do you like three downs better than four?
Yeah, the game's faster.
Yeah.
Only thing I wish they would take away is take away the fair catch from the game down here, and give them that five-yard halo to catch it.
What about the size of the field?
Keep the same.
Here?
Yeah, because everybody it's more competition. Everybody's faster. Some people faster.
There's not much space. And when you look at the difference, the field up in Canada is just so huge.
Yeah, it's a soccer field.
It's like
playing. I love that.
Yeah, it's like there's no boundaries almost.
Yeah, wide open.
Yeah, and then come back down here, and the guys are a little bigger and fast, and the space gets eaten up real quick. I guess for a defender, you kind of like that.
Oh, yeah.
That's better.
A lot better.
Yeah. Hey, Deion, last question I have for you. Where is this Buffalo Bills team's head at right now? Three games left. Playoffs, the mathematical chance that existed is gone now. How do you think your team is approaching this week in the final three games of the season? Where's the head at right now?
Went out. Yeah, that's it. And even though we're not in the playoffs or anything like that, we're not approaching it any different. We're coming for every game every week to win. We're not approaching it to lose, you know, because we're not in the playoffs. We still got stuff to prove and show that we're still a competing team.
All right. It's good to hear.
Good luck
with
that.
Good to see you. Congratulations on a good season. I hope you kind of hang in. Keep going. Make the most of this opportunity coming up against Detroit.
I am.
Awesome.
Thanks, Deion. Deion Lacy, Bills linebacker, joining us. Steve and I coming back with more in a moment. It is One Bills Live. We're coming to you from One Bills Drive, and this is Buffalo Bills Radio.
let him live with the consequences of his actions.
All right, you're joining the conversation in mid-sentence with myself
and furthermore,
Stephen Tasker. I have a question for you.
Go ahead.
Why do you get mad at me when I mention to special teamers on the current Bills roster that they're talking to a guy who went to 7 Pro Bowls?
They're not required to know who, what guy played 20 years ago.
I'm trying to educate him. I think that gives you stature. I think that gives you presence. I think they might answer your questions better if they know that they're being asked by a guy who's done what they do and did it at the highest of high levels. How can that make you mad?
It doesn't make me mad. I just feel bad for the guy because he's going to feel bad he didn't know.
No, I don't think – I think – did you see the look on Deion Lacy's face? He's like, whoa, 7 Pro Bowls. He didn't feel bad. I don't anticipate
he's
that.
He's got to say something. You're trying to make him look bad.
I'm trying to educate him that he's dealing with
these guys,
history here.
You forget.
When you played, if somebody said to you, this is so-and-so,
he
went to 7 Pro Bowls, what would you say?
Exactly what I was going to say.
You would have said, whoa.
First, yeah. I would have said, wow, that is pretty good. But here's the thing. When I was playing and all the old guys would come in, they had good friends of mine now, like they had Paul McGuire, Jack Kemp, Lou Piccone, all those guys who, they became friends of mine. I'm in the middle of my seat. I'm in the middle of playing my career, you know, stuff. I appreciate that they were players and all that, but, you know, your focus is elsewhere. I mean, that's like, you know, I can't be a fan right now. I'm playing kind of thing, you know. And plus, there's always that thing, and I'm sure the new guys feel like this. Hey, the game's – listen, I'm playing 30 years after you did. The game's different. So I don't need the advice, you know?
So it was easy to go to 7 Pro Bowls back in the 80s?
I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that it's different. It's way different. The kickoffs are way different now. Punt team's a little different now.
You would argue that kickoffs are a lot easier now than they used to be.
Oh, very much so. There's no wedge. Are you kidding me? No double teams. No peel back blocks. Yeah, it's a lot different.
Look, I know you don't want to appear to be, you know, self-aggrandizing. You want to appear to be humble. Appear anyway. But, I mean, come on.
I want to appear like the rock star that I think I am.
The guy's doing essentially the same job you did. You should know that you did it at the highest of high levels for years.
Well, here's the thing.
I think you should know that.
Yeah, here's the thing. If they don't care anyway. So why bring it up?
Okay.
You know what I mean?
I disagree.
If the guy doesn't know the history of
He doesn't know who I am, then he has no business knowing who I am.
It's unimportant. It's going to be unimportant after you tell him.
Next time you walk down the hall here and Deion Lacy walks by, you know what he probably won't say it, but you know what he'll think? Well, that's the guy that played special teams and went to 7 Pro Bowls. Guarantee you, he will remember.
Maybe.
Okay.
Maybe.
And believe me, I'm uncomfortable kind of pumping you up like this, but don't get mad at me because I mentioned to the guy. Yeah, you gave me a look.
I didn't
you
bring
gave
it up.
Me the look.
I did not.
Yes, you did.
Well, listen, here, the guy's on our show because we're talking to him. You don't have to start talking about me. That's my point.
All right. I'm restating this. I wanted him to know that he was talking to a guy that has a certain amount of stature when it comes to special teams in the NFL, historically.
All right.
All right.
I get that.
All right.
I can appreciate your thought process.
We thank Deion Lacy for coming on the show and talking to us. Our Twitter poll today is going pretty good. Why? It's a simple question. Why is Josh Allen running so much? What do you think? You can vote on Twitter. We've got more than 850 votes in so far. 53% of you, more than half of you, think he runs so much because the offensive line is breaking down. 16% say he runs so much because he needs to read the defenses better. 16% say he runs so often because his receivers are not open. 15% say he runs because he probably realizes he's the best offensive option they have right now. Give us a call. We'll discuss. 803-0550, toll-free 1-888-550-2550.
Yeah, there's no question. We had this conversation a little bit last week. When the season started, if you can remember back that far, I remember having this conversation and saying it, you know, we've got to make sure, and it's all changed now, obviously, because we're 3 or 4 months into this. We said, listen, we've got to run the football this year because, you know, LeSean is our best offensive weapon. He's the best player in our offense. We've got to get him involved so that the pressure is off the quarterback. How far we've come, because now the quarterback is the best option. I think that you'd be hard pressed to have somebody say, you know, that Josh Allen isn't the best offensive player on the team right now.
Oh yeah,
right.
And most productive.
And I think it's significant that has changed over the course of what, the last month and a half.
Yeah, Since he's come back from injury, yeah.
Yeah. 3 weeks. Certainly since he's come back from injury, and I can't even remember what it was like before he got injured. But, yeah, I think that's really true, and I think it's significant to mention that. So I did.
Okay. Let's take a, let's take a phone
You're
call.
You're mad at me for being
I'm not
mad.
Not mad at anything.
You're
no,
mad at
I'm
me
good.
For being mad at you.
I'm not mad.
I wasn't mad at you, though.
Here's Sandy in Buffalo. Hello, Sandy. Welcome to the show.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. Hello
sure.
to you both.
Thank you.
Best luck with your nomination. I know you didn't want to hear that, but I appreciate you from many years ago. Big time.
I can't take a compliment. I think that's what we've come across here, Sandy.
I'm training you. Pretty soon you'll be berating me just like everybody else.
Listen, it's not an endless supply of compliments for me or the listeners.
All right. Just all right, Sandy, you. Go ahead.
All finite. Right. Reason finite. Reason one is because of all the negativity that's out there, just want to say that I totally agree. I'm a huge fan of Josh Allen's talent. I find myself getting antsy just waiting for the weekend so I could watch him play. I think he's extremely talented. I think he's the best thing that we've had in the city in a long time. And I don't understand how any Bills fan cannot be ecstatic over the future of quarterback.
Sandy, do you see great hope and future and promise? He's going to be like one of these quarterbacks like Ben Roethlisberger, and he's going to be like Drew Brees and Philip Rivers and Russell Wilson. He's going to be one of those really top flight guys.
I think he's going to be a top flight guy. And I have thought so since the beginning. I get excited when I watch them play in preseason even, and I know people weren't all that excited sometimes. I literally get out of my seat just to watch him play.
All right,
I haven't felt that way in years.
All right, Sandy, I got something for you. I want you to be completely honest with yourself and all of us. What is your biggest doubt about Josh Allen?
I am not as concerned with accuracy as everybody else is. I think he can throw the ball. He's got an arm like a cannon, as everyone says. I think we just, if we could just get him some help on the O-line, I think that the guy's going to be phenomenal. I mean, I'm trying not to be a fangirl here.
Failing.
I have felt this excited watching a quarterback play since Jim Kelly.
All right, I will thank you, Sandy. That's awesome. I appreciate it. That, and I agree with you. I think there's a lot of reason to be optimistic about it, and I feel like you do, and I've said it a bunch of times on the show. I think it's really fun to watch this team when he's playing quarterback. And I know they've lost two out of their last three. They've been competitive in all three. They've had it there for the taking. I don't think there's any question that this last week, if they hadn't given up almost 200 yards in return yardage, that the Jets weren't good enough to beat this team with Josh Allen playing quarterback. And I think against the Dolphins, they had one play at the end after all the problems, ups and downs through the game. If they have one play that wouldn't even have been that spectacular of a play on either end of it, they would have won that game. So you would think, you know, maybe they'd be really flying high right now with a three-game winning streak. But they lost these last two. But like you, I think there's a lot to be really excited about. And I've said it time and time again, he makes this team a lot of fun to watch.
Thank you, Sandy. Let's take a few more phone calls here about, well, let's stick with Josh Allen, why he runs so much. Here's gentleman in Buffalo. Hello, sir. You're on the air.
Hello, sir. Hey, Steve. How you doing, sir?
Doing good.
Well, my take on this whole Josh Allen thing is, okay, I think more people were more excited because he's the first quarterback, franchise quarterback that we picked in a while, but in college, he wasn't the man. I mean, his accuracy was off. You know what I mean? He wasn't a pocket passer, and supposedly that's why we got rid of Tyrod, because we wanted a guy who could stand in the pocket, like you said, Ben Roethlisberger type, Drew Brees type, not a running quarterback. That's what we had in Tyrod. So supposedly, that's why we got rid of Tyrod. Josh Allen does not let the play set up. He'll be already in the shotgun, not under center. He'll be in the shotgun. Get the snap. Look at his first read. He gone.
Why do I think gentleman is there running through the plays right there? Let me ask you this. So you think you're down on him? You don't think he's gonna mount to a franchise quarterback?
Well, I don't. I think he's gonna be like J.P. Lossman.
Boom.
He's here this year. Next year, because we're still rebuilding, we're going to see what happens. The second year is when the second year quarterbacks usually make their mark. He's not going to make his mark. That third year is going to come, as we do in Buffalo. Josh is going to be gone.
I don't think okay. So. If the gentleman maybe. Will yield for a comment here, I don't think you're right about that. I do think there are already signs this year that he is way ahead of, as I said, anybody but Kelly, since Kelly. And it's physical skill. Yeah, he is the same guy he was in Wyoming with a big, strong arm and tremendous athleticism, and they're trying to build on that. They're trying to refine that. They're trying to teach him how to read defenses and trying to teach him, you know, the subtle nuances of playing the position and determining when to run and when to hang in there and take a hit and pass. It's a work in progress. It's a process, if the gentleman will permit
and
me.
I think one thing I noticed that's a subtle difference in what he's saying is Tyrod was playing behind a much, much better offensive line than Josh is. And he had the number one running attack in the league, and he wouldn't throw the football when people in the stands at home and everybody place else felt like there were wide open guys running through the secondary. Now, there's been some people who called in and said, they think Josh is missing open receivers. I haven't seen that to the extent that I did before. And like I said, too, I think Josh Allen standing on the floor of his career, he hasn't hit the ceiling. I think Tyrod was at the ceiling. I think he was as good as he was going to get. He had the number one running attack in the league and had an offensive line that was good in pass pro and in the run. And early in his career here in Buffalo, he had a really good set of wide receivers. They couldn't get it done. And I think they were ready to move on from a guy who had reached his ceiling and try and get a guy who, as everybody, a caller said, Tyrod Taylor is every bit the quarterback that Tyrod Taylor was. Tyrod Taylor was at the ceiling of his career, and Josh Allen is taking his first snaps as a pro. So I think the sky's the limit for him from this point, and I think there's no question that the surrounding cast on offense is much depleted from when it was just a couple of years ago. So I think there's every reason for optimism about his development, and certainly we've got to see it. And I'm not going to say it's absolutely going to happen, no question. But I got a lot of optimism that it's going to get a lot better than where it is even today.
Let's take a call from another gentleman, Steve in Lancaster. Go ahead, Steve. Welcome to the show.
Hi, boys. Thank you.
Hi.
I'm just wondering, with the line and current condition of the build and his advancement this year, I think there's more tolerance for him this year versus next year with the salary cap that we've got that we're going to be able to go forward. How much more expectations, a gap between this year and next year, do you think that the owners are going to have with this team? What are they going to expect going into next year with all that?
Yeah, that's a great question.
I think they'll expect playoff contention, honestly, next year. I think they're going to spend money, obviously. They're going to spend the 10 draft picks they have. It'll be the third year for the coaching staff, and I think they're going to expect that it's a legitimate playoff contention next year. I don't think that's too much to ask either, Steve.
They've got to – in fact, if you look at this team this year, they will expect – if this year was next year, they would have expected them to win against the Houston Texans in that close game down there where they were – Nate Peterman threw the late pick six to cost him the game. They would have expected him to beat the Dolphins last week and the Jets this week. And he put those three games in the win column, and the Bills are sitting at 7-6 with a chance to go. That's what they would expect next year with a second-year quarterback and a newly built offense.
Steve, what are your expectations?
That's a good question. I haven't really thought about it.
You know what I will say, and I think this is a good question for after December 30th, after this season ends.
Yeah.
But go ahead, Steve. You've opened up the box.
I think it's a fair question. I think it depends. I want to see what they do in free agency. I want to see how good they expect to be up front of him. And
I really want – I think there's work to be done the next three Sundays,
too. I want to see what Josh looks like.
Yeah, the next three Sundays.
You know?
What do you think, Steve?
I don't think you can sustain him pulling the ball down and running all the time.
No. Steve, your expectations. What do you think?
Oh, you said Steve. I thought the –
Oh, the wrong Steve. No wonder.
My bad. Go ahead, Steve.
I apologize myself. My wife just corrected me due to that as well.
Are your wife and you doing a show, your own show, Steve? doing a show, a little talk show at the kitchen table? Go ahead. I'm sorry, Steve, on the phone. That's my fault.
Expectations pretty much run parallel with you, Steve. I'm not as more much concerned this year with the losses, opposed to a couple of weeks when I did call you and explained that I was the Miami loss, the way they lost, I was aggravated with the celebrations. Moving on from there, the losses that may occur this year, I'm more interested in Allen's progression. And then next year, I'm just wondering, given that salary cap and that with the potential to get a better line with the amount of salary cap, will anybody be on the hot seat even if certain expectations aren't met?
I don't know. I think it depends on how they're not met. I mean, it depends on so many things. You can't. I don't think you can make a blanket statement when there's so many moving parts to what we have not seen yet. When we get to that point, we'll know some things, and the expectations will change and be varied about, you know, how good their offensive line should be, how good their running backs should be, how good these wide receivers, either they're new or the old ones or the young ones who have emerged, what are they going to look like? What are their expectations for those guys? And I think it's going to all depend on that. The draft class, I mean, what's it going to look like? What are they going to expect this defense to do? They're number one in the league this year, yards allowed. They're a good defense this year. Are they going to continue that, or are they going to take a step back? A lot of things. And is Josh going to come out of this season 100% healthy? All of that stuff.
Look, I get tired of the hot seat questions. We're 2.5 weeks away from when a bunch of coaches will be fired and replaced, you know, that process begins. And we've gone through that so much here in Buffalo. I don't look forward to that. If it has to happen, it will happen. But rest assured, this coaching staff is in pretty good stead with the ownership.
I agree.
Right now.
I agree.
And I don't know. Who knows, you know? If they lose 16 games, yeah, they'll switch coaches, you know?
I agree with what they're saying.
All right. Thanks, Steve.
Thanks,
Steve. Did he say he agreed?
I think he was talking to his wife.
They're doing their own show.
I know.
They're doing their own show at the kitchen table.
Good for them.
Let's go to this call about Josh Allen from Frank in Tonawanda. Hello, Frank. You're on the air.
First of all, Mr. Tasker, I've seen every Bills game that you played in.
Wow.
At a stadium, and you do belong in the Hall of Fame.
There you go. How many games you play in, Steve?
A bunch.
Josh Allen running so much definitely stems from the weak offensive line and talent around him. He needs a strong tight end. You build your team with your offensive and defensive lines.
Yeah, I agree, Frank. I have always thought that the offensive line was the biggest position group on the field, and the other side, conversely, I think the defensive line is just as important. So I'll go with you. And I do. There's no question offensively. They spent a lot of assets to get Josh Allen on this team. He's here now, and now they've got to figure out what he needs to be successful and put it around them. And I agree. The offensive line is a good starting place. The wide receivers have been a work in progress as well. They've released a couple of guys to make room for these young guys so they can evaluate them. So it's all on the table in these next 3 weeks. It's going to be a lot of fun to watch and see how they progress.
Hey, Frank, I just looked it up. Steve Tasker played in 160 Buffalo Bills regular season games, not among the top 10, but second among wide receivers, only Andre Reed had more. You telling me, Frank, you saw all 160 games, home and away, that Steve Tasker played in?
Not away, all the home games.
Oh.
And I watched all the away games on TV. I've been a Bills fan since 1965.
160 games.
You're shrugging like watching every single home game live in person wasn't a big deal. I played for 11 and a half years.
Yeah, I know. I've seen you too. I think I probably was at every game you ever played, now that I think of it, right? Yeah.
Yeah, you might have been.
Where do I line up for my medal?
How many games? Well, that's a better question. How many games have you been a part of?
I don't even know.
Yeah, it's a lot.
It's a lot.
Only 1964 and 65, I had season tickets for 15 years.
Whoa.
Oh, awesome. There you go.
That's great. Thanks, Frank. Talking about Josh Allen a little bit here, Wayne in Springville. Hello, Wayne. Welcome to the show. You're on the air.
Hi, how you doing?
Great.
I just want to say one thing about Josh Allen. I think that he's a promising young quarterback. I think, too, that he definitely needs a front line because he does not get the protection he should. And with all the penalties, they get themselves in such a hole sometimes that he's really trying hard to dig himself out of it, which is unfortunate.
Yeah, you're right. Penalties were a problem, and turnovers were a problem against the Jets as well. They turned the ball over three times, all that stuff. In the games that have been so close as the last three have been, you can always boil the whole game down to like three instances that made the entire difference in the game. And certainly this game is no different than that, this last game against the Jets. One penalty here or there, or you know, one play, one catch, one drop, whatever. They all make an enormous difference in a game that's so close. You can say that about every NFL game.
Thanks, Wayne. Here's Mike in Rochester. Hello, Mike. Go ahead.
Yes, thanks, guys, for talking with me. My point is this. I love watching Josh run around the field, He's got drive, enthusiasm, and passion, and that's what makes us want to watch. But the reason I'm calling is I'd like to see better play calling to develop him as a quarterback. I mean, some quick square outs, RPOs, some screens where he's getting rid of the ball in 2 or 3 seconds. I just don't get this dropping back, looking for stuff. I just want to see. I know the West Coast off, you know where I'm going. And I'm just looking at the play calling, because if we're trying to develop Josh, it's the short, accurate passes. I have no idea why we're not doing that crossing passes like we've been getting killed by New England over the years. I just don't get it. So
well,
that's my take.
I'll tell you what, Mike, and I'll address it a little bit. The reason you see plays called the way you do, there's a number of them. One is you have the guys that can run those plays, and they're good at it. One reason you don't see other plays run is just the opposite of that. They don't feel confident their guys can execute it. Another thing is it comes to the talent around Josh as well, particularly when you're talking about anybody who's going to be catching the ball, whether it be tight ends, wide receivers, or running backs. If they don't have the guys around him that allow him to complete those passes or can't execute those passes or protect him in the midst of all that, then – they're not going to run them. And those RPOs, that's a good question, because it does give you the run-pass option. I think they're what they do is, if they're giving him run-pass options, I think that asks him to do something other than what an NFL quarterback you want him to do. Your quarterback shouldn't have run-pass option. You want him to drop back and throw from the pocket. Run-pass options, while they're good and they're effective, if you run your offense around them, you're not going to have a quarterback that learns to stand in the pocket, read a defense, and throw it. I'm not one that really spends a lot of time thinking about play calls. I know what goes into putting in a game plan. I know what goes into putting a play sheet together. I've seen guys do it, and I've seen them hash through why plays are called here and why plays are not called there, what type of plays they've got in the game plan. A lot of it has to do with the guys you've got, as I've been saying. It also has to do with the defenses that you're playing and what they're susceptible to. I think all that goes in. Don't get caught up in the play calls. They're giving these guys the plays that they think are going to work against the defense they're playing that day. So don't get caught up that we don't have any RPOs, or we don't run screen passes, or we don't drop back and throw the ball down the field. They're giving guys the plays that are allowing those guys to be successful on that particular play. And that's what goes into it. So believe me, when things change around Josh Allen, the play selection will too. And when Josh Allen develops, the play selection will change as well.
Having a good discussion about Josh Allen, asking you why you think he runs as often as he does. But change the topic a little bit, Steve. This came up 2 days ago on the show. The result of a comment that Leslie Frazier, the defensive coordinator, made on Monday, meeting with the media. He was asked about Tremaine Edmonds and how he's progressing as a leader. Coach Frazier, defensive coordinator, mentioned that just last week, Kyle Williams went to him, the defensive coordinator, and said, hey, that players-only meeting we have Thursday afternoons, the defense, I want to let Tremaine Edmonds lead it this week, which was pretty amazing. We talked about it on the show. So Kyle was asked about it yesterday, about his motivation for letting Tremaine Edmonds be the man behind the defensive team meeting, the players-only defensive team meeting last week. Here's what Kyle Williams had to say.
He's in a natural position where, in a perfect world, if you're a head coach, GM, whoever, you want that guy to be a leader of your football team. You know, he's a guy that's going to be the head of communication for the front, the middle, and the back of our defense. He is a guy that, displays the right habits. He works hard. He plays hard. He does the right things. He wants to be better at everything. And it was something where, I want to continue to help him to grow. I want Tremaine to be as good a football player as I think he wants to be. And, I think it's a big step for him. I went to him and said, hey, listen, I've been doing this for a long time. I look at you, I see somebody that's going to, in my opinion, is going to be a cornerstone here for a long time. And you play a mic position where, you need to, at the end of the day, you need to be the bell cow. So let's get this started early. I'll help you. He did a great job.
He's quiet with us. How is he with you, or coming to you with questions?
No, he's great. He's great with questions. He's great with communication with us. And, I think that's one of the great things about him. He lives by the, less is more, which isn't always a bad thing with you guys.
We talked about this the other day, though. And I think it was characterized, Steve, as the ceremonial kind of passing of a torch. Defensive leadership from Kyle Williams to the rookie, Tremaine Edmonds. You know what? It kind of is that, isn't it?
It's
absolutely that. And you can't say – and we've all seen it here in Buffalo on a number of occasions. I think over the last few years, particularly when Sean McDermott took over, having him bring in the right kind of guys and foster an atmosphere where there are some real leaders – who are gifted at it, and Kyle Williams is one of them. And I think this is another instance where you just got to sit back and say, you know, this organization has some pretty stellar human beings involved in it, and yeah. Kyle's one of them. And the fact that he knew enough to be a leader enough to say, listen, it's time for you to grow up a little bit, and I'm going to give you a chance and help you do that. I can't say enough about what that means to a young player to have a guy do that. Think about what that made Tremaine Edmonds feel like, to have a guy of Kyle's stature come to him and say, okay, here's something for you to do, and we're going to do it. And they did it together.
Yeah.
Outstanding. You can't say enough about it. It's a monumental thing that comes across as being very subtle for all of us. We don't understand. But for a guy like Tremaine Edmonds and for a guy like Kyle Williams – that's something they're going to have between them for the rest of their lives. I'm telling you, it's that goes that deep, and it's pretty significant.
Tremaine Edmonds was asked about it in the locker room as well. His thoughts on Kyle Williams asking him to take over leadership of the players only defensive team meeting last week. Here he is.
I felt good, man. I felt comfortable in there. I mean, you know, those are my brothers, man. We've been at it all year together, so we got that connection now, man. So, you know, I feel comfortable up there. I'm talking to them every day at practice, so, I mean, it's really no difference, you know, going in there and, you know, just leading the meeting.
I've got one more thing to say about this, Steve. I do think it's significant. If anybody had any doubt about where this team is at, and yes, they're 4-9, it's you know, they lose 2-plus games for every time they win, and that's disappointing. It's been rough. But there's still stuff going on here is what I'm trying to say. That's a big one right there. Josh Allen's development, we talk about that all the time. But that's a big development there. There's still important things taking place on this team that will, I think, be pay dividends down the road, including next year. And that's one of them, I believe.
Exactly right. You can't say it enough. That right there is an example of the growth that is happening in the midst of a season that's been disappointing.
All right, we're going to take a break. We're going to come back. Steve Tasker, John Murphy, One Bills Live from One Bills Drive, and this is Buffalo Bills Radio. Well, it's time now for What Have We Learned from Today's Show, presented by Advanced Alarm, providing Western New York's homes and businesses with the finest in security and home theater, the preferred alarm and home theater provider of the Buffalo Bills. We've had a good show today. I think we've had a good show. I'm telling myself that we've had a good
show.
I think
it's
been good.
Keep saying it. Chris, people will believe it.
Chris Burke joined us earlier today from TheAthletic.com in Detroit, covers the Detroit Lions. He talked to us about Matthew Stafford, Lions quarterback, and the Detroit Lions offense. Here's what he said.
Last year, he was one of the most effective deep throwers in the NFL. And this year, that's really not in their game at all. He might take one or two shots per game right now to Kenny Golladay, but that's about it. They haven't found anyone at tight end to stretch the field. And they just kind of took that out of their game plan for whatever reason. So there's been really a fundamental change in the approach offensively. And again, I think that's something they've got to figure out this offseason, whether it's a scheme situation or, you know, he just had a bad year mentally or whatever. They've got to get that settled.
Interesting take from Chris Burke also on the show today. Bills linebacker Deion Lacy, special teamer, Bills linebacker Deion Lacy. He spent 3 years in the Canadian Football League before he made it to the NFL, signed down with the Bills about a year and a half ago. We asked Deion Lacy what being in the Canadian Football League taught him and how it's helped him in the NFL.
Being with Edmonton Eskimos really taught me how to be a pro because coming, you know, from the Cowboys, I was at home for a little while and, you know, hanging out and not really, you know, playing ball like I was normally used to doing. And I was kind of wild when I got back into it, you know, with my attitude and knowing how to, like, come back down and, you know, saying respect the game, how it should be played. And I really appreciate Coach Jones up there with the Edmonton Eskimos.
There you go. Deion Lacy, we thank you for joining us. Still waiting for the injury report from today's practice. Kind of want to curious about the status of LeSean McCoy.
They do that on purpose.
Yeah, I expect it to come out about 3:01.
Yeah, it'll come out 3:01 right after we get off the air. We'll be able to find out. We'll step out the door and yell it.
Because of Shady. Chris Brown said that McCoy was at practice, looked like he'd been participating on a limited basis, but no confirmation of that. McCoy did not practice at all yesterday with a hamstring, and that really is the bit of news that could come out of today's practice session.
We'll watch for it. We'll get it. soon enough. We'll tell you tomorrow.
Yeah. We're on tomorrow at noon. It's our Friday show with Lorenzo Alexander, Mark Kelso, and Greg Cosell. It should be a good show tomorrow.
It always is.
Yeah.
Always
look
is.
Forward to it.
By the way, just for the kids out there, Murph and I do like each other. We had a couple of arguments today about
I don't even recall those arguments.
Yeah. All right, good. Neither do I.
Production assistants from George Blass, Jeff Koltnick, Thomas Hollander, Kelly Rude, J.J. Torito, Kevin Cargis, James Robel, our producer, Jay Harris. We're back tomorrow, 12 noon to 3 p.m. One Bills Live, presented by Kaleida Health from One Bills Drive, and this is Buffalo Bills Radio.